Recreation Policy Committee to order. We do not have a quorum, so we're going to proceed anyway. And Representative Hoppe, we're going to start with your bill, and we won't take any action if you finish your testimony, and we'll lay it over until we get a quorum to take action.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Representative Hoppe, I will move House File 3757 to bring the bill before us, and the bill will be going on to State Government Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, I've got a brief introduction. Good afternoon. I'd like to begin with this brief introduction to Brian Sanders, a 1992 USA Olympic ski jumper from Stillwater and the St. Paul Ski Club. Brian was a five-year member of the U.S. ski team and is the current president of the American Ski Jumping Hall of Fame and Museum in Red Wing. Brian will give a brief introduction to our purpose and effort with Snow Angels and introduce the distinguished guests and collaborative Minnesota partners that are with us in the room today. With that, I'll turn it over to Brian.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Brian Sanders, Friends of American Ski Jumping in Red Wing, Minnesota.
Very good.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Committee. On behalf of the Minnesota Coalition for American Ski History, organized by our Minnesota Ski Clubs, it is my honor to share some insight into our Snow Angel Bill. It was a February day in the winter of 1887 when two Norwegian brothers, Mikkel and Taurus Hemmesvet, the reigning 1 and 2 place finishers in the famous Norwegians Cup, would introduce skiing as a sanctioned competition in the Minnesota town of Red Wing. Taurus sailed 37 feet, setting the first American distance record, and in what later became became our nation's birthplace for competitive skiing. Red Wing would later host the National Ski Tournament in 1928 and 1936, and few people know that the roots of today's U.S. ski team and the United States Ski Association can be traced back to the forming of the National Ski Association, largely organized by a collaboration of the Red Wing Ski Club, the Minneapolis Nordic Ski Club, and the St. Paul Ski Club, which is the oldest active ski club in America. Today, with nearly 100 Minnesota Olympians in the ski discipline since the first Winter Olympics in 1924, we are indeed a great state of skiing. Today, we have some unique Minnesota guests in the room. They are very much the story behind the Snow Angel Bill. And as I introduce them, I ask that they remain standing until we've completed our distinguished group here. I'll point out as I make these introductions that the Snow Angel Bill has four important components: Minnesota youth, important economic impact, our history of American skiing as it relates to Minnesota, and an incredibly strong collaboration of Snow Angel partners across the state, a collaboration that's been in place now for over 100 years. Please stand as I introduce you and remain standing until I finish with their group. Jay Martin from the Minneapolis Ski Club. Jay is a 1964 Olympian in Innsbruck and a two-time Olympian with the 1968 Olympics in Grenoble, France. Jay is also a 45-year volunteer introducing youth to the sport of ski jumping at the Minneapolis Nordic Ski Club site near Highland Park. Craig Winsberger from Shoreview, Minnesota. Craig is a 1976 Olympian. That 76 Olympic team, by the way, six of the seven athletes on the head coach were from Minnesota. Greg was also a U.S. coach for the 1984 and 1988 Winter Olympic Games. He has combined as an athlete and coach almost 20 years with the U.S. ski team. Kip Sundgaard, the 1975 NCAA national champion and member of the 1976 Olympic team in Innsbruck, Austria. And he is the reason that we have a morning weather report on CARE 11 with another ski jumper behind him, Sven Sundgaard, who was on skis at the age of 2. Jim Grahek, a 1980 Olympian from Lake Placid. He won the 1980 Olympic tryouts, also known as the Pride of Ely, Minnesota. Kevin Brockman, cross-country skiing from Stillwater, Minnesota, a 1984 Olympian in Sarajevo and 1988 Olympian in Calgary. He's the head Nordic ski coach at Seminole College and an active coach with the Minneapolis Nordic Ski Club. Jimmy Denny from the famous Denny family in Duluth, Minnesota. Jimmy is our most recent Olympian, a 2006 Olympian in Torino. also some future Olympians with us here today are Christian Freiberg. Christian is a national team member, and he is the 2015 U.S. national champion from Woodbury, Minnesota. Also, his cousin, Trevor Edlin. Trevor is also a national team member and a winner of a U.S. Cup meet this just this past winter. Representing women's ski jumping all the way from Lillehammer, Norway, is Jenny Hagemann. And our coaches, Doug Mackey from Coleraine, Minnesota. Doug has driven over the last 40 years as a coach some half a billion miles to bring kids from the range to ski tournaments across the country. Thank you, Doug. You have a great facility up there. From the Minneapolis Ski Club, Chris Brose. Chris is a coach, volunteer coach for the program there, and has been instrumental in the modernization of all of the small hills. Also, Bob Coyler, parent of a Minnesota Olympian, Mike Coyler, in 2002. And Jeff Denny, also from the famous Denny Brothers of the Minneapolis Ski Club. Now the Minneapolis Ski Club, formerly Duluth. Jeff is a former U.S. ski team member. And from Buck Hill is Don McClure. Don started working at Buck Hill at the age of 15 in high school. And just this past fall became the owner of Buck Hill. So it's quite a history of a great program that he's been a part of at Buck Hill with all of the Alpine Olympians. At this time, I would like to bring forward a testifier, parent, Kathy Wallace, representing the St. Paul Ski Club and ski parents throughout our state. Kathy?
Could we get the whole group over? Could you shift over so we get a great photo with all of you together? Yep. Come forward so we can come forward a little bit. Photographer's right here.
Okay, guys.
Do you want them in front of the testimony? Yes, yeah, could all move right in front of the testimony table. It'd be better.
Yeah. No, just slide right up.
Everybody can be together. Yep, perfect.
Yep. There, well, that'll work.
You can direct.
Short guy.
Don't be hiding now. You get everybody in? Thank you for your indulgence. Thank you.
Yeah, I wasn't picking at it. Good to see you.
Representative Constantine?
I believe we have quorum.
We do. Before we get started, I will call the meeting officially to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Anzell moves the minutes from March 30. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails, and minutes are adopted. Please proceed. Oh, I will make the formal motion to bring the bill before us, House File 3757, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on State Government Finance. Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Committee, my name is Kathy Wallace. I'm from the St. Paul Ski Club. On behalf of hundreds of ski parent volunteers across the state like me, whom are raising kids with snow dreams, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak to you today. As a mother of two ski jumpers, one now a former women's national team member, and one current Minnesota hopeful, I'd like to share some brief insight on the positive impact I believe that the Snow Angel Bill will have for Minnesota. As you have now learned in the introductions, our Minnesota ski jumping clubs are a great example of groups working together with really one common collaborative goal, to introduce boys and girls to the sport at little or no cost, and when expenses occur, fundraise to make it as affordable as possible. Notably, many clubs offer some financial assistance with ski club grants and scholarships to help kids continue skiing when they otherwise could not afford to do so. We, Minnesota ski parents, friends of ski site communities, and our lifelong skiers themselves, have been successfully running junior ski programs across the state as far back as the 1890s. Our history, statewide unity, and our champions make us a great investment for the state with measurable return, especially when combined with our volunteer hours and fundraising efforts. The number of both out-of-state and regional overnight travelers for Minnesota ski competitions is remarkable. It significantly boosts our local and state economy in the Minnesota winter months. Today, Minnesota has four year-round youth ski programs, ski club programs, with summer ski surface for year-round training and competitions. With the Snow Angel program, we can add two more that provide stepping stones and the advanced training of future Minnesota Olympians at home in their own state. In closing, as and an example, my son Brian started traveling out of state to train and compete in national competitions as early as age 10. We have great introductory hills in Minnesota, but the kids reach a point where they must leave home to advance in the sport. Both our national, divisional, and Minnesota programs are desperately in need of a new modern Olympic-sized ski jump in the United States to better maintain their education aspirations and a more balanced travel schedule. What this currently means for a parent like me, and in my son Brian's case, is being in Europe on average 3 times a year for extended periods. He's been doing this since he was 15 years old. He's now 22. Aside from occasional and when available, some wonderful ski club and community support, expenses are almost entirely parent-funded once a skier reaches the elite training levels. I jokingly call it mom and dad working to fund the dream. Our dream in this case is a successful passing of the Snow Angel Bill. If funded, it will contribute partial project support for skiing and snowboard facilities across the state, facilities which are largely volunteer-led and provide Minnesota with a strong continuation of winter recreation and necessary increased economic impact for the state. Additionally, it will bring men and women's national teams to train and compete year-round in Minnesota and open the door for future Olympic trials, national championships, and World Cup events, back where it all began in Red Wing, all while extending the careers and potential of our Minnesota skiing and snowboarding Olympic hopefuls. Thank you very much.
Questions, members? Representative Russo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just happy to support the bill. I'm a co-author on it, and I encourage people, if you're in Red Wing, to stop at the St. James Hotel and look at the American Museum and Hall of Fame for ski jumping there.
Very good. Representative Considine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, how many youth are we talking about that participate in this program?
Mr. Standard?
Thousands. Thousands and thousands between ski jumping, alpine, cross country.
Yep. Representative Mesa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a great bill, why I signed on as well. And I come from a group that's not on the list growing up. My dad was our ski, I guess he put together the ski club that brought students down from Rochester to Frontenac and instilled a lifelong passion for all my brothers and I. And just recently, my brother was out skiing in Montana and really enjoyed that. So I think this would be a much-needed addition for our young professionals here and for just enjoyment in general of the sport and expanding the opportunity to have a great, healthy outdoors activity that I think most young people would find way more fun than doing it on PlayStation or something of that nature, because when you're in the air, now granted I probably fell a heck of a lot more than all of you, but it was a lot of fun doing the double daffies and getting back up, and your friends were laughing at you, mouthful of snow. So thank you for working on it, Representative, and pushing the ball forward on this.
Representative Anvil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As usual, it's difficult to follow my friend and colleague, Representative Metza. I won't be talking about any of my personal experiences on the ski jump, but I want you all to keep in mind that we have a first-class, wonderful facility in Coleraine. It's Mount Itasca. It's been around for a long time. It like all of these venues, it requires ongoing maintenance and capital improvements, and all of us up on the Iron Range work hard to keep that facility as viable for the kids of tomorrow as it has been in the past. And Representative Hoppe, really happy to see you carry this bill.
Thank you. Do you have any further testifiers, Representative Hoppe?
We do.
Sanders?
Yes, if I might just comment as I bring up Dennis Egan, who's a former mayor of Redmond, has been instrumental in the leadership of this bill from the start. As a former physical education teacher and associate director for recreational sports at the University of Minnesota, I'd like to point out that our own University of Minnesota research with regarding outdoor recreation, and all of these ski areas are very much outdoor recreation areas, with mountain biking, zip lines being introduced, summer tubing, there's much more to offer than just beyond the skiing itself. But the research shows that students that participate in outside of the classroom experiences at the University of Minnesota have higher GPAs, they have higher retention rates, they graduate earlier, they're more socially integrated in the campus community, and they have a greater appreciation for their college experience than students who do not participate. I mention that because all of that research is transferable from early age to later ages of life. It's very important, and it's great that we have a program like that at the University of Minnesota that offers that, and clearly what this bill is about, supporting beyond future Olympians. Not everybody becomes an Olympian, but great to have those dreams. Also, these programs are free ski programs in the state, so kids can learn to ski jump at the sites which are included in this bill for free. They also are provided, in most cases, their rental equipment. I don't know anything like it. Else like it. Dennis?
Mr. Egan, please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Yes, Dennis Egan, representing the ski jumping facilities in Red Wing. And again, Mr. Chair and Committee, I'll be brief, but I think it's also important to talk about this bill. You've heard a lot about the ski jumping and the great athletes that we have here today with us with many different disciplines, but also to just remind that this bill is a statewide bill. And covers all disciplines. It's the ski jumping, the alpine, the cross country, the snowboarding, and of course the ski jumping that you heard today. So we just want to make sure that as you leave today that you understand that this bill isn't about one or the other. It really is about the collective moving this industry forward. And with that, I think it's also important to share some economic impact studies that have been done and information about the skiing industry in the state of Minnesota. This bill, as it moves forward, initially will have an impact, we hope, on the facilities in Red Wing that we talked about with an Olympic ski jump. It also will have an impact on the St. Paul Ski Club, which offers jumping and cross country, the Minneapolis Nordic Ski Club, which is jumping and cross country, the Itasca, which you already heard about in Coleraine. There's also a facility in Cloquet, in Burnsville with the Buck Hill facility, and that will be introducing a year-round ski facility where they will actually be able to ski during the summer on a surface that is would be the first in North America to be installed. We also have the reintroduction of some facilities in Duluth and then a cross-country facility in Battle Creek. But that's just the start of the list. We have 19 ski facilities, alpine, across the state of Minnesota, which will have the ability and opportunity to tap into this fund if we can move it forward. On that list that I just read, the economic impact of the $6 million in year one will be $27 million. I also want to talk just a little bit about the broader economics of the ski industry in Minnesota. In 2013, the Minnesota Ski Area Association commissioned an economic impact study of alpine skiing and snowboarding. The executive study should be in your packets. This study was conducted by an organization called RRC Associates and really looked at the full impact, both direct and indirect. Winter sports in Minnesota, whether ice skating, snowmobiling, ice fishing, cross-country skiing, alpine skiing, jumping, snowboarding, play a key role in the tourism economy of Minnesota. Skiing is an activity that is healthy, family-oriented, outdoor, and really has a bonus for Minnesota in terms of the overall economics and impact it has on tourism in Minnesota. About 6% of the Minnesota population participates in alpine skiing and snowboarding, of which an estimated two-thirds visit one or more ski Minnesota ski areas, and an estimated one-third do not visit Minnesota but ski outside. So the further we can develop our infrastructure and industry in Minnesota, we hope to capture more of those individuals. In Minnesota, 1.4 million visitors attended and participated in one of our ski areas, and the total direct and indirect of alpine skiing and snowboarding resort industry in Minnesota is over $400 million. And that study was conducted in 2012 and 2013. Again, we just wanted to make sure that you saw the impact and heard a little bit about skiing in Minnesota. We also want to make sure that you understand that this bill will be housed in the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission and that each facility will have to have a local contribution in order to just get the ball rolling. We're here to answer any questions that you have, and again, we want to thank you for the opportunity to present this information to you today.
Thank you, Mr. Egan. Questions, members? Additional questions? Okay, anybody in the audience would like to say anything? Ms. Sanders. Did you have Mr. Sanders?
No, I was just seeing, I've got one more comment.
Go ahead.
With all of that presentation, I'd like to bring up a group of ski jumpers from the St. Paul Ski Club. And they are going to end our meeting here today with a ski song. It's called exactly that, the ski song. It's a Norwegian-American song, and it also dates back to the 1890s. We always end our ski events, banquets, award ceremonies with the ski song. Come on up in front of me.
How many of you have been on a ski jump? Raise your hand. All right. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Four skis that take off every Sunday morn. There comes a bunch of jolly skaters to jump and troll their foot. Oh, the big and small and big. They all dress up and the skaters drink. They jump into the groove. And when they all get through, the president pulls the string, and they drop their skis and sing, ya, 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 we still have Ludafiskalessa, Ludafiskalessa, ya, ya, we still have Ludafiskalessa, brand of Venus News. Hey!
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Very nice. Mr. Chair, do we have any Ludafisk to share today?
Representative Hoppe, any closing comments?
How do I top that?
Yeah, you can't. Impossible.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for your time. We'd appreciate the support.
Okay. And thank you, Mr. Egan and Mr. Sanders and Ms. Wallace and all the Olympians and future Olympians and coaches and parents, everybody. Thank you for being here today. Wonderful presentation. Thank you very much, and especially to the singers. With that, the chair will renew his motion that House File 3757 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on State Government Finance. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. It's on its way to State Government Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, everybody, for participating. Thank you for coming. Representative Eklund?
So I was sitting on this question, but anyway, we saw it. It's okay. He said something.
Okay.
You have it?
We'll have them repeated. Representative Eklund. Representative Eklund moves House File 3339 to be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Transportation Policy and Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. And first off, when my children told me I wasn't smart enough for a smartphone, I guess they're like, I apologize to the chair for that phone going off there last.
I have that problem all the time. No apologies are necessary.
So, Mr. Chair, members, this is a pretty straightforward bill. It's for the people that purchased the lifetime fish and small game license to have to simply have an endorsement put on their driver's license so they don't have to keep getting it renewed every year. And I think it makes sense. And with that, I know the DNR has some comments. So,
Commissioner Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. We have been working with the author on this bill. Also, Department of Public Safety have some concerns that we can address or bring them up if we need to. The main issue is putting this information on the driver's license. Is it going to be allowed to be a valid license at that point in time? The bill doesn't address that issue, but I think that's the intent of some people, so we're trying to work on that issue. The cost, when DPS will be ready to implement this, so we are requesting a delayed effective date on this bill, so it'd be January 1st of 2018, or when the MNLARS system is up and running, whichever is later, to make sure that their new computer system can deal with this. There are also some issues related to the amount of space that's going to be on the real ID and questions like that that need to be addressed. So we're going to work with the author and try to get the bill in the shape that it needs to be before it reaches the floor.
Commissioner Meyer, are you recommending that to Representative Eklund as an oral amendment?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we did discuss that with Representative Eklund.
Okay, very good. Ms. Taylor, do you have that change?
Mr. Chair, members, what you would need to do would be add effective dates to the two sections. So on line, or after line 2.18, insert effective date period. This section is effective January 1, 2018, or when the MNLARS system is ready, whichever is later, period. And then you would do the exact same thing after line 3.7, and I can repeat that.
Representative Eklund, are you okay with that change?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I am.
Very good. Representative Eklund moves that oral amendment. Oh. Okay. Representative Eklund moves that oral amendment. All in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Anything further? Questions, members? Representative Yaruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the bill. My son has a lifetime angler's license, and he occasionally experiences difficulty when someone's like never seen it before, and he's going to pick up that license because you have to go to one of the bait shops or something like that to accomplish that. And I was concerned. I'm glad to hear Mr. Meyer mentioning the question of room, because there are a number of different kinds of lifetime licenses. And if someone holds multiple versions of the lifetime license, that could get a bit cumbersome to include in the fine print on the license. So one of the ideas that my son has brought previously, that I talked to the DNR at one time, but we haven't really pursued it, is to make it easier for people to add on, if they already hold one, and add on additional things. Because currently you can get a combined angling and hunting one, but if you already have the angling one, there's no way to, you know, combine it after the fact. You have to just go get the separate ones that you want. So that, you know, an idea going forward to make that easier. And I'm glad to hear you're talking to the real ID people, since I was just talking to the Commissioner of Public Safety this morning about this is the time to get in those discussions about what that's going to look like and the paperwork and all of that before they go too far forward with some of those things and it gets too hard to change that. Thanks.
Representative Anzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, this is one of those, and to the author, you know, this is one of those common sense, really friendly to the citizenry ideas. This really does make a lot of sense. I just hope that, you know, once the bureaucrats in the DNR and the bureaucrats in public safety and the FBI and the CIA and we'll have to have bureaucrats from, I'm sure, 35 federal and state agencies get a handle on this. But, you know, you could just print on the back of the license DNR, or maybe you could put a picture of a fish or a partridge or something. Don't overcomplicate this. This is really a good idea, and I would hate to have you have to come back next year and say, well, we tried, but, you know, three of the 19 vendors we talked to said, oh, there's a problem here. So try to keep it simple. Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair. I know you agree with me.
I do. Representative Metz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just appreciated Representative Ansel's comments, but did want to say I hope that we don't just put DNR, because if you are in an accident, it means do not resuscitate. And so I'd rather get my fish described a little bit differently.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just speak quickly.
Mr. Meyer.
Part of the complication that the dedicated workers in the state of Minnesota are trying to deal with is the way that the lifetime licenses are actually counted for. So I brought my grandson, when he was first born, a lifetime hunting license, a lifetime fishing license. He doesn't need a license until he's 12 years old or 16 years old. So we don't seek federal reimbursement until at the time when these licenses are actually activated. And the way we activate them is when they go pick up their license every year. So we're in conversations with the Fish and Wildlife Service as, can we move to an actuary type formula to activate the state, the federal aid? We get about $4 per fishing license from the Walla Perot dollars, and over 17, I think, for hunting licenses from Pittman Robertson. So trying to make sure we're getting the licenses accounted for in a way that Fish and Wildlife Service will support. And also, how do we do it effectively on the card and to make the system active? Possibly by the time this bill will be effective, we may have a new paper licensing system in the state of Minnesota, similar to what some of the other neighboring states are looking at. So thereby, we can accomplish this with a lot more efficiency and be more efficient throughout the whole state. So you'll probably hear more about that in the coming years.
So Commissioner, even though we might do this, the lifetime license folks are still going to have to go and get their license.
At this point in time.
But this would say that I've got this license, so you wouldn't necessarily have to have it on you, but you still have to go get one.
Yes.
So we're going to account for the Pittman Robertson money.
We're trying to work with the intent of the bill and make sure that it does work at the end of the day. So.
Excellent. Representative Russo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of echoing Representative Ansel's idea, since the primary audience for this designation would be DNR enforcement officers, there's some room to have it as simple as possible on there. It doesn't really need to explain itself to the rest of the public. And so actually I kind of like the picture of the fish, a picture of a bunny, and a picture of a deer, you know, that as simple as possible. Your guys would know what it means. The guy holding the license would know what it means, and nobody else needs to know. So thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Eklund renews his motion that House File 3339 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation and Policy and Finance. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The bill is on its way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Metza. Sorry? We did the minutes. Representative Anzell, move a minute. We did the minutes.
Yes, I did. I read them and studied them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I move House File 3303 to be laid over for, is it possible inclusion?
Representative Metza moves House File 3303 to be laid over for possible inclusion. Please continue.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, essentially what this bill does is helps facilitate building some bike trails in my district, similar to Representative Lewix and down Duluth. I know last year we had a very good testimony with a bill that Representative Lewick had, and we would like to expand that opportunity to folks in our region. And we do have some proposed first set of trails that would be called the Redhead, mostly because of the ore color more than anything. And those would be around the Discovery Center, or as we like to call it, Iron World, up in the Chisholm area. And so essentially what's holding us back from that are some older archaic laws in regard to the mine inspector about fences. This would clarify that language and allow those areas to be used to build those trails without having to basically go back and forth with the mine inspector, which is the current practice in Representative Lewick's district.
Representative Metz, you're speaking to the amendment that you have?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I guess I should move my
Representative Metz moves the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that he'd like. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion? Testifier?
Yeah, I have Joe here who is going to go over a little bit more in detail and then answer any specific questions.
Very good.
For the committee.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chair, representatives, my name is Joe Austin. I'm the Director of Safety and Risk Management for St. Louis County. I oversee the mine inspector function for St. Louis County and by contract for Itasca County. The bill before you, House File 3303, is the product of communication and cooperation between stakeholders to facilitate beneficial reuse of abandoned mine properties towards the objective of economic development on Minnesota's Iron Range. MS 180, the Mine Inspector Statute, currently impacts only two counties, St. Louis and Itasca, and dictates four primary responsibilities for the Mine Inspector's Office. These are inspecting all active mines every 90 days, investigating serious accidents and fatalities, communicating with stakeholders via our annual report, and number four, safeguarding the public against hazards associated with abandoned mine properties. The item before you relates specifically to item four. The intent of this part of the statute is to assure that the public is not inadvertently subjected to hazards associated with abandoned mine properties. Examples of these, a person falling off a steep bank into a mine pit or a pit lake, or a person falling into a mine shaft while they're walking through the woods. Per 180, we mitigate these hazards by requiring the landowners to erect and maintain fences or equivalent safeguards. The changes to the statute that we propose will enable certain public projects to be removed from the fencing requirements of the statute in order to grant intentional access. Examples of these include properties owned by municipalities intended to be used as parks, campgrounds, and boat landings, and some IRRR development projects such as the Redhead Trail that we talked about earlier. These changes will address some existing situations where public parks, boat landings, and campgrounds currently exist as well. Some examples of these are the Ely Miners Pit, where there's a fishing dock and a park, and the Kinney Boat Landing and Park. They will also enable future development, including the Redhead Bike Trail, currently proposed near the city of Chisholm. All these projects are positives for Minnesota and the Iron Range, and all could potentially contribute to economic development. We respectively request that you support House File 3303 and these future possibilities for Minnesota.
Questions for Mr. Austin? Further questions? Any further testimony?
No, I just renew my motion, and for the sake of brevity, I think I'm last, so we can get out of here a little early today.
Anyone in the audience care to speak for or against the bill? Representative Metz, I think we'll put the bill on the general register.
Sounds good to me. I'd like to modify my motion then and have House File 3303 go to the general register.
Very good. Representative Metza moves House File 3303 as amended be placed on the general register. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The bill is on the general register.
Thank you.
Members, I just want to Representative Constantine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had that brief conversation in the elevator about Representative Dill talking about the legislature, and the commissioner's gone. I wanted to ask him, how can we follow up on what the legislature directed the DNR to do a couple years ago, the mapping the rice lakes and their tributaries?
At least that might be something you'll have to call Commissioner Meyer into your office and have a conversation with him about that. And if you want me there, just have me too.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Members, I just wanted to congratulate Representative Moline on her new arrival, cute little baby that just came. And so congratulations to her. This is probably going to be the last meeting this legislative session of the Mining and Outdoor Recreation Policy Committee, and it's been a pleasure working with everyone, especially the staff. And Roberta and Allison, thank you very much for all your hard work, and you've done a great job. And Janelle and Stephanie and Claire, wonderful work. Thank you very much. You guys are all great.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Anzo.
The minority members of the committee want to thank you and congratulate you on a job well done. You heard our bills. You were open and transparent in all of your deliberations, and we appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Representative Ewers.
And I'd like to thank our Mr. Peter Strohmeyer here for his work for us. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Peter. Yes, very good job, Peter.
Sorry, Peter.
Oh, Harry, too. We're forgetting all kinds of people. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Just get them around.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, meeting's adjourned.
There we go.